Hello once again and welcome back to Musings on Golf. Well, the calendar says November, and so we at Musings on Golf have decided to label this month as PGA of America Month. My name is Kelly Elbin. My co-host is the voice of golf for TalkSport, Mr. Robert Pupka. Bob, you and I have a lot of ties to the PGA of America and its 31,000 professionals, and there's no better way to launch PGA of America Month than to be joined today by the brand new president of the PGA of America. What a passionate guy Don Rae is, Bob.
He certainly is, and I think our listeners of Musings on Golf are really going to enjoy all of his stories, including being a baseball umpire. Also on Musings on Golf, we'll have the story of Paul Azinger. And once again, can you believe it, Kelly Elbin? Another victory for Bernhard Langer right after the interview. Amazing, amazing show. And that's because we have amazing, amazing listeners to Musings on Golf, and we can't thank you enough.
Well, we're going to have, in terms of PGA of America Month, we've got next week, great story of Jason Karen, who's a club professional and probable run to earning his 2025 PGA Tour Champions card. Really cool special Thanksgiving episode with PGA of America professional David Kent. His son Noah was runner-up in the 2024 U.S. Amateur. Hey, Bob, by the way, before we kick this over to the interview that we just did with Don Rae, that father-son, that David Kent and his son Noah, reminds me a lot of the father-son duo of PGA of America professional David Young and his son Cameron. You know, Cameron has played extremely well on the PGA Tour. Always cool to see that relationship of the PGA professional literally guiding his or her son to success at the highest of levels.
Well, very well said, Kelly. And you know, one of the hidden jewels of the sport of golf, it's a family thing. You know, whether you play with your son, whether you play with your dad, your brother, your wife, your children. I mean, that's what makes it so very special. And that's why Kelly and I are so happy to be part of Musings on Golf.
And we'll be joined by Don Rae, the new president of the PGA of America, right after these words from our good partners at Musings on Golf. Our friends at William & Harry are always looking for ways to stand out in the crowd. So for anyone who belongs to a country club, William & Harry can have your shoes private labeled to fit your specific needs. The same applies to your company or any organization you might be affiliated with. This makes you a clear winner. Why? Well, you have a better quality shoe that feels great, and you have the logo of your club, company, or organization on your shoes that really makes you stand out on the golf course. To learn more, visit williamandharry.com today and be sure to input our promotional code 15OFF, M-O-G, for a 15% discount at williamandharry.com.
You flew the trap on 6. You birdied 12 and 13. You closed out the match 4-3. From your numbers to your windows, everything was dialed. That was yesterday. Outperform your best. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Bob, last week in Grand Rapids, Michigan, delegates to the PGA of America's annual meeting elected the 44th president of that storied association. He's a man who served at many levels of one of the world's largest sports organizations, and his two-year term will coincide with the playing of the Ryder Cup next fall on Long Island. A PGA of America master professional, owner of Augusta Ranch Golf Club in Mesa, Arizona, and someone who I am told is as passionate as anyone about PGA of America professionals. Don Ray, congratulations, and it is a pleasure to welcome you to Musings on Golf.
Thank you. I'm pumped to be on the show. I am passionate about our members. I am it was a big day last Thursday, so I'm excited. I've already hit the ground running. Lots of phone calls. I'm here at the PGA University Championship in North Carolina. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show. I can't wait to hear what you guys want to ask me. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Don. And I'm laughing a little bit because there's a radio host out of Boston that I listen to every night, and his name is Don Ray. I don't think you're related in any way, form, or fashion, but it's kind of ironic having the same name. Don, I want to kick off with something completely different than you may have been made aware of, and I apologize, but it's just been a passionate plea of mine for so long. Is there any way, Don, you can institute an initiative to get the PGA and the PGA Tour identified properly at each of the events that they're at? I am so sick and tired of being at a PGA Tour event and it's referred to as the PGA. And at a PGA event, it's referred to as the PGA Tour. Is that something any way you could take a look at and come up with some ways to give credit where credit's due?
Well, I think I appreciate you mentioning that. Thank you for mentioning it. You know, obviously, when that information came out, June 6th of last year, remember when they thought the tour, was doing something with Yasser, and all of a sudden they put our logo up on television, and it's like, hold a second, this thing that was maybe a little bothersome every time you're a PGA professional. It's like, hey, do you know Tiger Woods? No, I'm a club professional. You know, they play for a living. I work for a living. You know, they play for millions of dollars. We get millions of people to play. I mean, that's what we do. And so that's when we did change our logo a little bit. We wanted that of America to pop. We decided that if people were going to talk about other countries, we were going to talk about America. We're the PGA of America. That's when we added the slogan. If everybody was going to talk about money, well, we were going to talk about love. We love this game. And then talking certainly about the 31,000, you're exactly right. The men and women that are out there, just to, you know, at the end of the day, we are the voice of the golfer in the game. When golfers, they ask us questions like, hey, what's going on with this, Don? All of our pros, and maybe it's the rollback, maybe it's what's going on with the professional game, they ask us. And then I think we have to turn around and then tell everybody what the recreational golfer is saying. And that's who we are. I mean, at the end of the day, I think at the heart of a PGA professional, we love this game. We might just love the people who love this game more, which is, I think, a cool quality.
It's unique, right, Don, in terms of those letters PGA that have in sports that had led, and I guess even with the change of logo, which I think is a really good change to make that of America pop. It's an unusual situation. Major League Baseball doesn't have it. The NFL doesn't have it. But I guess on the one hand, it's all golf, if you will, right? PGA references golf, and that's a good thing. But the confusion is out there. And I like the way that you've used more of PGA of America professional, PGA of America this. It's very important for consumers to understand that.
Yeah, in that commercial, hopefully you saw the commercial. I mean, the regular consumer doesn't know who Tony Pancake is, but he's our golf professional of the year. But he starred in that commercial. We did. That's been playing during NFL football. It played during Manning Cast. It played during Caitlin Clark's national championship game. And it tells the story of little Tony raising his hand up in the classroom, says, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, I want to be outside. We do that. I want to give money to charity. We do that. We help veterans. We do that. We make an impact on kids' lives through PGA Junior League. And that was the whole story of Tony's dreams came true by being a PGA of America golf professional. And if anybody hasn't seen that commercial, man, I really encourage you to Google it and watch it. And if you know golf and you know a golf professional, that commercial is going to warm your heart because it truly shows what we do every single day.
You know, Don, my entire life, my best friends have been PGA of America club pros for the last 50 years. I go way back to being a friend of Harvey Pinnick, one of the greatest club pros that ever walked the face of the earth. What does it feel like for you now? You're being entrusted with leading the PGA of America for the next 2 years. Has the reality set in? Are you excited? What are your feelings at the moment?
Well, I love that word you just used, entrusted, because I completely agree with that. This association has been around for 100 years, and I'm tasked to leave it better than I found it. And if every president does that, then we'll get better every 2 years and every year. I think, as you become secretary and vice president, and I think it doesn't start right when you become president, because you're working on things throughout being a secretary and vice president. But now, certainly, as the face of our association on behalf of the 31,000 men and women, yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of issues going on. But there's so much good happening in the recreational game. So I couldn't have picked, somebody from a public facility. I couldn't have picked a better time to have the Ryder Cup at a public facility, to own and operate a public facility, and then really just tell everybody that this game is amazingly inclusive at the public and private side. I mean, you go to my golf course, Augusta Ranch, and you look at that parking lot, you're going to see some Teslas, but you're going to see a lot of trucks with pool equipment in the back, trucks with landscaping in back. Every age group is on my Top Tracer range. And so I think those stores, Bob, that's what I need to do as president, is tell the stories to the non-golfers, right? It amazes me. I don't know about you guys, but 91 out of 100 Americans don't play golf. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, we are the antidote for a lot of things. We bring families together. We're good for mental health and physical health. And I think that's what I need to do, guys. I think for the next 2 years, all I have to simply do is tell the story of what the PGA Golf Festival does, and let the legislators know, let the general public know, and let our members know that I'm out there fighting for them and promoting what we do on a daily basis.
Don, I wonder if you could speak just to a moment, just in terms of the process of how you get to be a PGA officer and sort of the laddering up. I mean, I'm the son of a past president of the PGA of America, so I'm familiar, and you
Yes.
know the process very, very well. But everything you do and the other professionals with you, this is a volunteer position, right? So it's always I always get a kick out of people will ask me, well, how much does the PGA president make? And I said, well, he or she, they own or operate or they're the head professional at clubs and courses throughout the country. It's a tremendous commitment of time, right? Maybe speak to that just in terms of how that laddering process works. I'm also interested to know how many days will you be on PGA business this year, for example? How many do you think you'll be on next year?
Yeah, great questions. You're not paid in money. I think I'm paid in hugs. I think I'm paid in hearts and the things. PGA Hope, as you talk about it. We're literally saving lives with PGA Hope. But yeah, the way the PGA of America works, there's 41 sections, kind of like states throughout the United States, and there's leaders of those. There's boards. There's officers of those sections. We take those 41 sections and we turn them into 14 districts, and now those districts have a director who's responsible for listening to their constituents, those three sections. And then you're on the national board when you're a district director. And then once you're on that, maybe someone taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you should run for secretary. And if you do, you're secretary for 2 years, and then you're vice president for 2 years, and then you serve as president. So really, it's kind of like a farm system. I used to be an umpire, the baseball farm system. The PGA of America has a farm system. It starts down at the chapter level of our sections. And if you put your heart to it, and you work real hard, then you can work your way up and try to leave the game better than you found it. As far as travel, certainly there's a lot of travel. Now, there's things that we do. I would just say kind of diplomacy, go to the PGA, the Players Championship, and talk to the players. We want to have good relationships with the USGA, so go to the US Open. You certainly go to the Masters. I get to actually see a lot of members at the Masters because our members get to go complimentary, thanks to Augusta. But a lot of it is section visits, guys. And yeah, I would imagine this year I'll probably be on the road about 185 days. There's a 50-50 shot that I'll be at Augusta Ranch, because it's 50-50 shot I'm going to be talking to members. And I think that's what we're called to do. I know I'm better in person than I am on paper. And so if I can get in front of members and fire them up a little bit about how important they are to raising money for charity and all those other things, then that's my job. So it's a labor of love. And you know what they said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. That's the way I feel. I truly do.
Hey, listen, Don,
Terrific.
I don't know how many times during the course of a golf season I get asked this question, Bob, can you get me on Augusta? Now I can say yes, when they say, "Is it the one in Georgia?" No, not quite, but it's called Augusta, and I'll be able to fulfill a lot of favors. Speaking of favors, what you guys do for the military is absolutely incredible. You know, no better deserving than the troops and people that have fought to keep our country alive and allow people to enjoy golf. I mean, 30,000 plus club professionals who work so hard. To be honest with you, Don, I don't know if the average person knows how hard a club professional really works. I mean, typically, you can disagree if you want. To me, I have them showing up early in the morning. They're there late at night. They're always in the pro shop. More often than not, they give that one little tip to somebody on that first tee, and they have a good round. They couldn't give a better gift to a golfer to let him play just a little bit better. So, as I said, I have many, many friends that are PGA Club pros. On behalf of all those guys, I know you're going to do a good job. I can feel it coming from your heart. PGA of America is going to be much better off over the next couple of years.
Amen, brother. We got to hang out more often. I appreciate those words, and you're right. PGA members have a servant heart, don't they? They have a servant heart, and they don't work all those hours because they have to. They work all those hours because they want to, because they want to be around their members. They want to your point, get somebody to get the ball airborne. PGA Hope is cool, Bob. Thanks for mentioning that. We actually have a fundraiser going on right now. If you go to pjhope.com, we've got Heroes for Hope, and HOPE stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. What's really important to know about this program, which I think is fascinating, is that we have a deal with the veterans, with the VA. And what it is we are a rehabilitative program. When we give a lesson to a PGA HOPE veteran, a veteran who comes out, they have to be trained on adaptive golf. We need to understand prosthetics above the knee, below the knee. Maybe PTSD, maybe they're blind, maybe it's a brain injury. There's all kinds of different things. They go under the care of a trained PGA golf professional, and a doctor at the VA can literally prescribe a golf lesson to get a veteran out of the house. And I've heard enough veterans tell me that, listen, I tried to commit suicide several times, but I just didn't get it done. And then all of a sudden, and they always stop there, Bob, they say, and then I met my PGA coach, and that's when my life changed. And that's the power of hope, and that's certainly the power of PGA Hope. And we do. We serve 17,000 veterans. We have thousands of PGA members that are giving those classes. It's saving lives, and it's just a cool. It's one of the coolest things we do in the PGA of America.
It really is. I'm, grew up in the DC area. I know you had an event not long ago at Congressional Country Club where you're going to have a PGA Championship and Ryder Cup down the road. And Mr. Nicklaus was nice enough to attend. And the people impacted just at that event, Don, through PGA Hope. It's a pretty emotional time. It might be the most special thing that the association does, quite honestly.
Well, I'll tell you, and that staff, Jason Epstein, every veteran there, and that's where we train up our ambassadors. That's who those are. Those are HOPE graduates that we send to Congressional to get trained in a week to go back to their communities and tell other veterans about the program. It turns out PGA members were good at growing it, but veterans are better. When they talk veteran to veteran and go, this is a program you can trust, these PGA pros care about you, they believe them. And so you're right. When Mr. Look Nicklaus showed up, all those veterans tell you, they told Mr. Nicholas, this is the best day of my life. And Jason helps set that up because they get lockers there and there's mental health training. I mean, one of the most impactful stories I have is I was in the room and Chris Nowak, who runs the program for us, he's like, Don, I'll let you in this room, but it's about mental health. I usually only let veterans, but I'm going to let you in the room. But be quiet, just sit at the back. And all these veterans, the young lady who was running the seminar, said, okay, if you've had some examples of mental health that you've dealt with, or maybe some of your friends, and each one got up and they just told their story, and they just poured their heart out, and every single one was like, and then I met my PGA professional, and that's when I was like, you're not going to get me to stop talking about this. We need more pros teaching it. We need our veterans to tell other veterans to go to the programs, and It's the greatest thing that we're doing. I love PGA Junior League. Certainly is our one of our flagship initiatives, but PGA Hope, man, every PGA pro who does it, they never stop. There's no way they're not going to do another. They are never going to stop doing a Hope program if they just do one. And I tell all of them, just do one. Because I love a little kid who takes his hat off, right, guys, at the end of a junior clinic and they go to shake your hand. It's so cute. They're showing respect. You teach them a good hard handshake. You get a hug from a veteran after a Hope, you'll be forever changed.
Now we're thrilled to be joined by Don Wray, the 44th president of the PGA of America, whose 2-year term began just last week in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Don, unfortunately, our nation has suffered with some massive hurricanes of late, and many lives, millions of lives affected, and certainly lives of PGA professional, PGA of America professionals, and the golf facilities where they work. I wonder if you could speak a bit about what had been the PGA Disaster Relief Fund, which I believe you had a good deal to do with, it now being called the PGA Medical and Disaster Relief Fund, to help those professionals who really have been hit hard try to begin the process to get back on their feet, if you will.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're a not-for-profit, and so we grow the game. We serve the member, but to get funds directly to a PGA member, they have to be given directly from a PGA member. And so the medical and disaster relief, yeah, it used to be called the disaster and medical relief. And I, after being the chair of that for 2 years when I was secretary, there's some just terrible medical stories. Of PGA professionals that maybe lose their wife to cancer, and now they've got mounting medical bills, or maybe their child was killed and they can't cover some of those funeral expenses because it didn't get covered with insurance. That's where the Medical Disaster Relief Fund is. Now, anybody can give to it. Most PGA professionals do, but non-PGA members can give to the Medical Disaster Relief. But you're exactly right. It is the fund when there's a tragedy that happens, whether medically or a disaster-based, property type of thing. We're there to help. The Board of Control gets those cases and they start doling out funds. Unfortunately, because there's only so much money in there, the max for your lifetime is only 9,000. That's where we always encourage our members. Like when you pay your dues, just throw some of that extra money on there, because this is certainly pros helping pros. All of the money, other than a couple stamps, goes directly to the members. So thanks for mentioning that, Kelly. It's something we don't talk about enough, but it's such a great program of pros helping pros.
You know, what's amazing is that I made a list of some of the great things the PGA of America is involved in and has accomplished, and but I can't think of anything any better than helping those in need, as you mentioned, whether it's a personal disaster, whether it's a natural disaster, no matter what, many, many people that play this game have as their good friend a PGA of America Club Pro, and boy, that's what makes the organization so very special.
No doubt. And we just don't tell people stuff, right? That's what PGA professionals do. We never talk about ourselves. We never talk about what we missed. We just talk about like we're there for them, our members or our fam, our families, our extended families. And that's one of the things we have to tell PGA professionals, like, hey, let's get the work-life balance, a little bit more balanced. Make sure you're spending time with your family. But you're right, you just can't get them to stop doing good. I mean, golf is the engine of good, no doubt about it. But the golf professional is the person that makes the car go, right? And you're right. It's just we're such a humble association. I got to get our members. That's what I need to do, guys. That's it. The next 2 years. Can I get these PGA professionals to tell their story on Instagram, TikTok, social media? Just guys, just tell the story of what you're doing, guys and gals, all ages. And people will be amazed at what we do at our clubs. It's not just cleaning clubs or folding shirts. Oh my gosh, we're raising money for charities. We're having field trips for the little kids in kindergarten to see what grass looks like when it's mowed down to a tenth of an inch. There's so many cool things that happen at a golf course.
Hey, you mentioned TikTok and Instagram, and you have been spot on when it's come to social media. I mean, you are all over the place. Is it something you kind of realized recently, the last few years, that, hey, if I'm going to be in this position, I got to maximize this opportunity for the PGA of America? Had that, what was the thought process behind using so much social media so effectively, Don?
Well, yeah, and my daughter's 21. She says, "Dad, I can't believe you're known as the social media guy. I mean, you're brutal." And I'm like, "Hey, hold a second, honey." But it was intentional because I just felt like you got to talk to the members. I mean, and there and what's cool about social media, at least I don't get on TikTok, but Facebook are kind of older people like me, right? That's where they hang out. And then Instagram are all the younger ones. Most of my followers, I have close to 3,000, they're all PGM students. Some of the kids that are playing here, I tell them, hey, if you take a picture, make sure you tag me because I'll post it on my Instagram. And then LinkedIn, right? We're talking to the employers, we're talking to the businessmen. And so you're
Sure.
right, I've become very intentional because I just know the PGA can create amazing commercials and they can run them on television. But man, if I had 10,000 PGA golf professionals with their 1,000 followers and they were posting things, that's way more than 100 million impressions. And we can do that all the time. And so I just feel like if you're going to do something, you have to lead by example. It was hard for me at first. I didn't understand it all. But I got better at it and I take my pictures correctly now. I found out on Instagram,
Yeah.
you can't do profile. You got to, I mean, you can't do landscape. You got to do profile. So whatever. My daughter helped me out with that. But yeah, I do. I think it's something we all have to do is get on there. And I try to be intentional of just telling our story. And whoever will listen, I'm not going to shut up because it's just such a good story.
Kelly, I need some help on this one. I heard a rumor that our guest was a former umpire.
Oh, you heard right.
I did.
Not
Yeah.
9 years as a minor league umpire. How did that all come to be?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, how life, takes you full circle and in a way, because I can use some of my umpire skills now. But yeah, 1,300 baseball games. I made it to Triple A. I did a lot of major league spring training games and just didn't get the call. And then really what happened is I was delivering for UPS because it's a great job to have as an umpire. And I delivered to a golf course. And this gentleman, Jim Mooney, who's a 50-year member of the PGA, still alive, he ran this little nine-holer called Riverview Golf Course right there in Tempe. And he just seemed like he was always happy. And I said, how do you get a job in the golf business? And he's like, you got to be a PGA pro. And I'm like, how do you do that? He's like, here's the number, kid. And so I called it. There were no websites back then. And but yeah, I really enjoyed umpiring. When I watched the World Series, this last World Series, it was kind of crazy. The home plate umpire was Andy Fletcher. The first base umpire was a guy named Doug Eddings. That was my crew when I was in AAA. There was all three of us together. I texted them and said, how come I'm not at second base? And they go, listen, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And I said, hey, touche, no doubt about it. I ended up where God wanted me to be. So yeah, I love baseball. I still do. But I love golf and I certainly am very blessed to be in the position I'm in right now.
Give me a great umpire story. Our whole show is
Oh,
based on storytelling. You've got to
all
have
right.
one over those 9 years that just jumps out.
Oh, I have a lot of them. You know what I mean? I should withhold the names. I won't withhold the names on this one. There was a guy, Lee Ilya. Lee Ilya managed the Philadelphia Phillies, right? Well, he was down in Clearwater when I was in the Florida State League, A ball. And they were in the heat, and we were at Sarasota White Sox. And this is when Bo Jackson was rehabbing because he had the hip surgery. So never knew if Bo was going to play or not. So it was packed on a Friday night, Clearwater versus Sarasota. Bo might play. Bo did not play. But I get into a big this is a long story, but I'll shorten it up so I'll get to the good part. There was a situation that happened. He didn't agree with me. I ended up balking in a run, which I had a good reason. So I tried to warn the catcher, I'm going to balk this run in if you don't tell the pitcher to get a step. And he didn't. So I balked in a run. Lee lost his mind, kicked dirt all over me. 2 weeks later, we're in Winter Haven. And he knows it's coming, and there's runners at first and second, a bunt play, close play. We call them whackers. There's a whacker at third base to call the guy out, and here comes Lee. Now, when a manager knows, especially one that's managed in the big leagues, when the manager knows they're going to just find a reason to come argue with you, they put a big chav red man in. Not Copenhagen, not Skoal. They put the big red man, leafy, juicy stuff in. And
Major
he
league
comes
stuff, right?
out, major league stuff. He comes out, and he is losing his mind, and I can taste the spit in my mouth, the tobacco spit, because he's spitting on me. And I'm like, where's the big leagues now, Lee? You're an A ball just like me. And he's like, you can't talk to me that way. And he's screaming at me and he bites my chin. I go, you just bit me. Oh, no, I didn't. I go, yeah, you did. And the funny, so obviously he was thrown out way before that, but he had to leave through the center field fence and then it was locked. So we're waiting for him to go and he's pulling at the door at
Get
center
out.
field and we're just folding our, he can't get out. And there's only like 1,000 people in the stands. Winter Haven, it was such a bad stadium back then. It's a brand new one now. Back then, this is 1991, by the way, 91. But so that was it, Lee Ilya. And then I did a big league game years later, Mariners versus the Red Sox. Oil Can Boyd's pitching, Dennis Martinez is pitching, and Pinella's the manager. And who's his bench coach? It's Lee Ilya. Lee Ilya brings out the scorecards and says, "Hey, nice to meet you, Lee Ilya." I go, "I know who you are." He goes, "So how do we know each other?" I said, "1991, Florida State League. You bit my chin, you spit in my mouth. Tell the boys to swing the bat today." He didn't know what to say, but that's my best story by far, Kelly.
Awesome.
Well, that's a good one to go out on.
We're joined by Don Ray, new president of the PGA of America here on Musings on Golf. Hey, Don, you mentioned PGA Junior League a little bit earlier. Man, the numbers speak for themselves. What a great program and a long time program now for growing the game. Speak a little bit to Junior League and some of the other initiatives that the PGA of America has going.
Well, certainly PGA Junior League, boys and girls playing together, numbers on their back, playing for flags, basically three-hole competitions inside of a nine-hole match. The beauty of, you might have seen PGA Junior League Championship at Frisco on ESPN, and that's awesome. And that's like Williamsport. So that's what we do to promote. It's an aspirational event. That's how we promote the event. But the good stuff, guys, is happening in those other leagues, the recreational side of that. At the beginning of the year, because it's like Little League baseball. Little League baseball, there's kind of the all-stars of the all-stars. But before that, the good stuff is kind of what's happening in neighborhood ball. People are on the teams playing together. Same thing with PGA Junior League. There's leagues throughout the United States. Over 70,000 kids played last year. And that's where kids can bring other kids in because it's a scramble. I mean, who doesn't like a scramble? And so for two kids to play together in a two-person scramble, what happens in the not the all-star season, but the spring leagues, is that kids will bring somebody else in and say, "Hey, why don't you play on my team? It's a scramble. I'm really good. You're learning how to play. Let's play together. I'll hit a
Makes
good shot if you hit a bad one."
it easy.
So
Makes the entree easy, doesn't it, Don?
it's the best. I actually think like a first-time golfer should play like a one-person scramble, like their whole first year. Hit two balls every time and pick the best one. Then you'll see that you can actually do it. The second person's always better. But yeah, I love PGA Junior League. Certainly what we do with PGA Works, where we have fellows and scholarships across the nation trying to diversify the workforce of golf. So PGA Works is really close to our heart. And that's all under PGA Reach. And then certainly just the PGA of America, all the things that we do at the sections. The sections are where the rubber meets the road. And so we're the PGA of America, but really just a collection of all the sections. And so they have their own things that they do down at the section level. Iowa just won the Herb Grafis Award, the highest honor for a section. And you just to see the events that they're doing for kids, for the urban areas, for the veterans, that's where the real creativity happens. So, really all we have to do is showcase what our sections are doing, and everybody will know the story of the PGA professional.
I know one thing, Don. Julius Mason, be awfully proud of your appearance here on Musings on Golf. What's the pressing issue? Number one issue right now facing Club Pros of America.
Well, I think, at first, right after COVID, we lacked a lot of assistance. I think when it came down to, people who wanted to get into golf, they're like, "Well, that's a lot of long hours, and what are we going to do?" Well, we addressed that of explaining like it's not necessarily the long hours, and there's no doubt we had to fix work-life balance, and I think we have. But I think we're better explaining, is it work-life balance or is it the balance of your life's work? And Kelly, your dad, there's no doubt he knew he impacted a lot of lives. That's what PGA professionals do.
Right.
We build relationships, we raise money for charity. So the pressing issue right now is we have a lot of members who are retiring. We have a lot of members coming in. This is an opportunity for mentorship. It's a time for our older members to reach down and pull the young ones up, and for the young ones to learn the craft of being a PGA professional. We have to make sure that they understand that the PGA profession is just that. It's a craft. It's something that you have to learn with another PGA pro. I think that's the biggest pressing issue. I mean, certainly, the rollback of the ball concerns a lot of our members, a lot of the recreational golfers out there. The disturbance and disruption in the professional game, it disturbs us because at the PGA of America, we got this great story going on in golf, and everybody wants to talk about the other stuff. But we're going to focus on the Ryder Cup. It's going to be amazing, and we're just going to focus on our programs and our 31,000. But the big issue is us getting together as an association and making sure the older members are talking to the new members, because the young ones make the old ones feel younger, And the old ones give the expertise the young ones need to be a good PGA pro.
Well, we're deep into the back nine and a really terrific talk with Don Rae, the new president of the PGA of America. Okay, Mr. President, you just mentioned Ryder Cup 2025, just over 10 months away from the biggest spectacle in golf. There's no question about that. At Bethpage Black on Bob Bupka's home territory of Long Island. We start with Keegan Bradley. I mean, surprise pick, a lot of questions. Wow, has that ever been a stroke of genius, at least what's played out over the first few months of his captaincy, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, that's why the PGA is amazing. Who thought that I would be on the Ryder Cup committee? You know, someone who runs a par 61 golf course in Mesa, Arizona, but that's what the vice president does, sits on the Ryder Cup committee. It's the president, the vice president, the CEO, and then it was Zach Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. And so we met, and certainly when Tiger had so much going on, and then we had to get another captain, I thought the process, guys, was amazing, because there were certainly everybody thought were like the easy picks. We didn't look at it that way. We looked at everybody and anybody who'd won a PGA championship, maybe been a vice captain or a captain. We wanted the entire list, and we did not judge each name as we brought it up. And then as we started talking about like what that person represented, who they were, everybody wanted to say, well, you know, Keegan didn't make the Ryder Cup, so maybe they gave him the captain. No, that did not happen. We didn't make him the captain because he wasn't on the team. We made him the captain because, one, his dad's a PGA golf professional. That's awesome. Two, the way he acted after he didn't get picked. Isn't it amazing? We tell kids all the time, when you miss that three-footer, that coach who's got that scholarship is waiting to see what you're doing. Do you storm off that green, or do you grab the flag stick and wait for your fellow competitor to make their putt? The kid who grabs the flat stick, you know, has got character. And the way that Keegan handled himself after not being on the cup showed character. He certainly understood the passion and what we wanted, right? The little guy on top of the Ryder Cup trophy, that's a PGA professional, Abe Mitchell. And so that's what the Ryder Cup's about. And Keegan knew that. And it's certainly what he knows. And being in the backyard there for his college years of playing, it's amazing how when you have a good decision, everybody says, oh, I knew they were going to do that. But those 2 weeks between when we picked him and when everybody found out, nobody said Keegan. But now all of a sudden they know. And you know what, guys? You know, I know the CEO questions out floating out there about the PGA of America. That process ongoing, and that's the same thing. We're looking for that type of person that when we name the CEO, everybody goes, I got it. Well done, PGA of America. And I think that's what we're going to do, because we're going to take the same time and dedication we did with Keegan as that we're doing with our CEO, because both decisions needed that. And it's the right person at the right time.
Our friend Kerry Haig, who's done such an incredible job running PGA championships and home Ryder Cups all these years, is your interim CEO right now. And yeah, you'll figure that out. Hey, Don, wondering, what was Keegan's reaction? Were you on that call to him?
You know, that call is reserved typically just for the president, John Linder. And, you know, Zach Johnson, during the meeting when we picked Keegan, Zach's like, John, is there any way I can be on the call? Because the last time I talked to him on the phone, I was telling him he wasn't on the team. And John said, yeah, you could definitely be on it. Seth had the numbers, so he connected him. And then John started the call. So I was not on the call. But I'm sure he was completely surprised. But we knew his bio. We knew what we needed to know. And we knew he'd say yes, because he loves the Ryder Cup. And I wish I would have been on that call. You know, I don't know who I'm going to call in 2 years when I name the Ryder Cup captain for Adair Manor. But it's got to be one of the most special calls ever. But let's win at Bethpage Black first, right? Let's focus on this one.
Hey, Bob, I know you and Janice went to PGA Frisco, last year, I believe. The new, and it's been 2 years now, on that the headquarters has moved there. You've got some terrific golf courses there. You've already hosted a senior PGA championship. We could talk a little bit about the success you found there. You're going to have a PGA championship not too far away. It's quite a property you have there, both for the national headquarters as well as a destination for golf.
I was just going to say, I'm so glad that Kelly brought that up, because Janice, our executive producer, and myself, we did get to go to Frisco. And from the moment we stepped on the grounds till we got in the car to leave, we were nothing but impressed. I mean, every aspect of the headquarters is first class. And I was so proud, because this is what the PGA Club professionals really deserve. It's a beautiful facility, and it's going to provide ample opportunity for various challenges in golf. Congratulations on that, Don. You got a winner there in Frisco.
Well, yeah, you know, I think, you know, the board, it took a long time, you know, to make that decision. And eventually it all culminated in this great public-private project, you know, where the town's all in, Omni's all in, and their owners, and we're all in. And that's why you've got two amazing golf courses. That's why you got a 2-acre putting green and 10 holes of lit golf. And to your point, it's like Main Street for golf right there. And all the cornerstone of it is literally on the corner. And that is our home. I call it the home quarters. Everybody wants to call it a headquarters. I'm calling it the home quarters because it's the home of the PGA. You know, every future PGA professional will walk through those doors because that's where the education is. And if you go to the top floor of that, that's where we hold our board meetings on the fourth floor because you can see all 600 acres. And so, you know, when there's a decision that's binding at the board level and you want to know what this is all about, simply go walk out on that veranda and go, it's about the member. It's about the game. It's about our campus. And that's really the big thing, guys, is we never had a campus. Isn't it amazing how when someone goes to college, they want everybody to go to their college. They want everybody to like their football team and they wear their colors proudly. We never had that, but now we do. And now it's just a matter of reminding the PGA professionals, listen, you are the alumni of this campus. You are the boosters. And by the way, you're the recruiters for the next set of professionals that are going to be PGA members. And so I love the fact that we're the cornerstone of that property. I love the fact that our brand is all over it. I love the fact that it represents the highest level of golf, as to your point, the championships that will be played there. Yeah. And then also the recreational side where there's a putting green with little kids running around in bare feet, putting balls into those holes. That's cool. And it's such a visionary project. I'm excited that I was able to be on the board and have one small piece of just having a vote to say, let's do it. It's so cool.
Oh, that's great. Bob, two final questions for me for Don Ray, the new president of the PGA of America. And they're both very personal questions. You know, the PGA is one big family, if you will, in many respects, in terms of your fellow golf professionals. At last week's PGA annual meeting, for you, when a president-to-be is nominated, someone gives the nominating speech. And in your case, your daughter, Katie, who's a college student, gave the speech. I haven't heard it. I heard it was incredible. What kind of a cool moment was that for you, Don Ray?
Are you trying to make me cry, Cal? Is this what you do? You bring guests on, you make them cry like a baby. Well, you know, she did an amazing job. She's a senior up at Bowdoin and Brunswick, Maine. And, you know, when I decided to run, she was the first person. It wasn't my wife. She was the second. But Katie's like, when I told her some guys had asked me about running for secretary, she goes, Dad, you got to do it. And then through the process, I said, you know, if I get elected when I'm president, there's a nomination speech. You'll be in college at the time. Will you, this is when I'm getting emotional, will you read this speech for me? It's a big moment when you become president. And typically it's somebody from your section. She goes, Dad, I got you. 30 days ago, I called her and I said, how are you doing? Because, you know, it's her last year in college. She's getting beat up pretty good. I go, do you want any advice? She goes, no, I got it, Dad. I go, well, I could give you a couple suggestions. She's like, I got it, Dad. I go, but maybe. And she's like, Dad, I got it. And I had never heard the speech, so she read it. And she did exactly what I would have asked her to do, is she didn't talk about Don Ray PGA. She talked around, you know, when I coached her little league team, the Blue Lightning. And it was just special. It was cool. It was very emotional for me. But yeah, it was amazing. And it's a, you know, it's a culmination of a career to be the president of the PGA of America. And it's very humbling. And to have your daughter up there and experience that with your wife and your daughter, it's powerful.
So it's cool. Another reason why your selection as president, Don Ray, was certainly the right one. When I speak to you and Kelly speaks to you, we feel it. It's coming from the heart. It's not just the words that you are saying. Your passion for this game is unparalleled and exactly what the PGA of America needs because its club pros are so special.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's nice of you.
Bob, before you say goodbye to President Ray, final question for me, and it's one that I've really enjoyed asking, and we've, Don, gotten so many different kinds of responses to this. Some are obvious, some are very family oriented, very personal. And that is, if you could round out a dream foursome of golfers in your life, okay? Three other people, whether they're living or no longer with us, who would those three be and where would you play that round of golf?
That's a good question. It had to be my dad. You know, he passed away about 6 years ago, and he's the one who taught me the game. He gave me Ben Hogan's book and said, there's the grip, learn it, you know, and that was it. And so all of my best memories are playing golf with my dad. I'd have to throw my brother in there. Otherwise, he'd feel completely left out. I love him. He's 5 years younger than me. Both our mom and dad, they passed, and it's us now, you know, and that's all we have. And so, yeah.
What's your brother's name?
Eric Ray. Yeah.
Yep.
He's actually, he works in the jail in North Las Vegas, wears a badge for a living. If you'd have told me my 5 year younger brother gonna have a badge someday, I said, no way, dude. That guy was mean. But he was ornery as a little kid. He already stole my toys when I was younger. You know, and who would I round that out with? You know who I missed seeing and never got a chance to meet was Arnold Palmer. My dad loved Arnold Palmer. And I would have loved to hear some Arnold Palmer. I don't remember that black and white poster of Deke and Arnold. PJ came out with those posters a long time ago. It'd be cool to hear Arnold talk about his dad during that round of golf. And where would we play? You know what? That's a good question. I've got to play some amazing golf courses, but my brother and my dad haven't. So it would be a place that they would I'll pick a course that I've played. I haven't played Augusta. You know, hopefully Chairman Ridley, when I'm president, will invite me. Typically they do, but, you know, hey, if he doesn't, that's okay. You know, I understand. It's an honor just to go to the Masters. But, you know, Pine Valley, it always rates up there high. But I liked it when I went there because, one, the course speaks for itself. And it's very, unassuming. You go in there, you get the turtle soup, you get a little brandy in it, and then you play the golf course. It's just golf. There's nothing super fancy about it. The practice facility, it's just golf. And I really enjoyed it, that aspect. It's cool to me that it's ranked so high, because it's not because it's got the newest clubhouse or the newest locker room or the fanciest menu. Order what you want, have some of the turtle soup, play an amazing round of golf. And when you get done, you're going to want to play it again because of the holes that are out there. So there you go. That's my answer.
Hey, let me ask you, Don, have you ever played National Golf Links of America?
You know, I played it once. Seth took us out there. What were we doing? I think we had – I was out there for something. It was the PGA Championship when it was at Bethpage Black, and Seth took us out there. And it was fun. A little windy that day, Bob. It was very difficult. Very difficult.
It's just a great place to play, though.
Beautiful. Same thing. You know, those courses that are like that, they just show the essence of golf, that a good layout will last a lifetime.
Don Ray, this has been an absolute pleasure. The game of golf offers so much in so many ways, right? And I agree with you. So often it goes back to the PGA of America professional and the role that he or she plays in, whether it's administering the game, helping those in the game, or most definitely in what you're doing through PGA Hope. Should be very proud of the organization, and all the best for the coming 2 years. Very exciting time.
No, thank you. I'm excited too. You know, it's funny. You know, you asked about Katie's speech. In her speech, she said, my dad loves golf, but he might love the people who love golf more. Literally describes the PGA golf professional. There is no doubt we love golf, but we just might love the people who love golf more, which is really cool. And that's who we are.
Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry, and you should too. Folks, I love these golf shoes. They're made of deer skin and calf skin. They've got a soft gel insert, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And I got to tell you, they are so incredibly comfortable. So head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best, play your best with William & Harry. Bob, I'm really impressed with that gentleman. I'd never met Don Ray before, but as you noted several times, the passion and from his heart, PGA of America is in really good hands with him as the president for the next 2 years.
Oh, boy. I don't think there could have been a better selection.
Let's talk a couple of quick things. You mentioned about Paul Azinger. I didn't think that NBC Sports, quite honestly, did a good job in letting him go. They've had a rotating cast of analysts in 2024. They haven't settled on anybody. They've tried Brandel Chamblee. They've tried Luke Donald, who's the European Ryder Cup captain for 25. They've tried Kevin Kisner, Paul McGinley, Bones McKay. Good to see Zinger back. He's going to return to the booth for Golf Channel's coverage of select PGA Tour Champions events, about 10 or 12 next year. Lenny Watkins, who is retiring after 13 years as lead analyst. Bob, I thought Zinger was good. I don't know how you feel, but I'm glad to hear he's coming back.
So am I. Paul Azinger, he shoots from the hip. Whatever he says, that's what he feels. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And he's just one of the real great guys that play this sport. And we wish nothing but luck to Mr. Paul Azinger as he returns back into that TV booth where he really belongs.
Tell you one guy, Bob, who's not going back or going into that booth anytime soon is Bernhard Langer. At 67, he is remarkable is an understated word to use when it comes to him. We had him on Musings on Golf in the spring. He had just torn his Achilles playing pickleball in February. Son of a gun. If he doesn't win the Charles Schwab Cup Championship on Sunday, it takes his PGA Tour Champions leading victory total to 47. Bob, he's won at least once on the PGA Tour Champions every year since 2007. That was his first year on tour. Like, time doesn't really have an effect, apparently, on Mr. Langer.
He's an amazing individual. He's an amazing talent as a golfer. Quite honestly, Kelly, he's one of the nicest people that you're ever going to meet. A very, very special individual.
No question about it. Bob, this has been a lot of fun being back with you. We took a week off for the election. Great to be back with you as we start PGA of America Month. Don Wray was terrific. Next week, Jason Caron, PGA Club professional at Mill River Club on Long Island, who has just had an unbelievable year playing on the PGA Tour Champions. That's his 2025 card for the PGA Tour Champions. He'll be our special guest.
Yeah, they keep getting better on Musings.
No question. Bob Bobka, Kelly Elbin signing off. Thanks for joining us on Musings on Golf.